Matthew chapter 3, in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Is scriptural baptism important? Is scriptural baptism important? Jesus thought it was very important. He walked 60 miles to receive baptism. And this was by the only man that had the authority to baptize at that time, by John the Baptist. So Jesus walked 60 miles, and then he had to walk 60 miles back. Now, I always thought, you know, I preach, you know, he walked 60 miles. Boy, that's a long ways to receive scriptural baptism. But he had to walk back also. So that was 120 miles that the Lord Jesus Christ walked to receive scriptural baptism. The Holy Spirit knew it was important because he attended the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father knew that it was important because He sent John the Baptist to baptize, and He voiced His approval when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. And then the devil also must think that it's important because he's tried to counterfeit it in many ways. Let's look for a few moments at what's necessary in order to have scriptural baptism. If it's going to be the right kind of baptism, it must be according to the Bible. Anything less than Bible baptism is not true baptism. There are four conditions that must be met if we're going to have scriptural baptism. First of all, we must have a scriptural subject. We must have a person that has been truly saved by the grace of God. A person that has been born again. A person that has received the Word of God. In fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, turn with me to the book of Acts. We want to notice there are several passages of Scripture in the book of Acts that deal with baptism. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, When they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them, unto the church, about 3,000 souls. So we see, first of all, they received the word of God. We see that they were saved by the grace of God. And the first thing that they desired to do was to follow the Lord in baptism. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So we see, first of all, that they heard the Word of God. They believed, they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we see the first thing they wanted to do was to follow the Lord in baptism. Now notice verse 36 and 37 of this same chapter. It says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And then Philip said, If thou believest, with all thine heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He didn't say, now wait a minute, let me try to figure this thing out. He just simply believed by faith. He trusted in what Jesus Christ did for him on the cross of Calvary. He was saved by the grace of God. And the very first thing he wanted to do was to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Now notice also in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Let us notice verse 43. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins." Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, notice in verse 44 also. "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." Look at verse 47. "Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, or that had been saved by the grace of God, that the Holy Spirit of God had worked upon them. They were saved by the grace of God." So we see, first of all, they must be a child of God. They must believe. They must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So baptism comes after believing. So if water baptism cleanses us from sin, or any sin, then what does the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanse us from? Good question, isn't it? And so we must have a scriptural subject. We also must have a scriptural method. What is the scriptural method? That's immersion in water. Jesus was immersed. He went down into the water, and He came up out of the water. Did y'all get that when I was reading that in the book of Matthew? I've seen pictures of John the Baptist baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan with a pitcher of water, standing in the River Jordan with a pitcher of water and pouring the pitcher of water over the head of Jesus. What an abomination. It says Jesus went down into the water and He came up out of the water. John the Baptist baptized where there was much water. So baptism pictures a burial. Sprinkling could never picture a burial, could it? I had a boxer that Brother Harvey gave me, and he died after about 3 years we had him. And I had to take him out in the back in the garden and edge of the garden and bury him. Do you think I went out there and dug a hole about that deep for that boxer and got some dirt and sprinkled on that dog? Come back in the house and say, "Well, Brenda, he's buried." Why, no. Dug a hole about that deep, put the dog in the grave, and I buried him. And so, baptize means, and the Greek word for baptize is baptizo. And it means immerse, plunge, or dip. So every instance of baptism in the New Testament, you'll see that they were immersed. They were baptizing in Enon because there was much water there. Much water. So that's the scriptural method. The scriptural purpose. It's symbolic. It's pictorial. Baptism does not save. It's a picture of what does save us. It pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. These girls tonight are going to preach for the first time in their life and the last time. They're going to preach the gospel. They're going to show you what saves. They're going to picture the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with their life. How that Christ died, how that He was buried, and how that He arose again the third day for their justification. There also must be a scriptural administrator. This baptism tonight will be under the authority of a New Testament Baptist church. It's going to be done under the authority of the Olmsted Baptist Church. John the Baptist was the first baptizer. He got his authority from God. Jesus and all the 12 were baptized by John. Jesus gave the authority who made up the first church the authority to baptize. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, He commissioned the same church to baptize. And on the day of Pentecost, there was 3,000 who had received the Word, were baptized, and added unto the church. I believe that scriptural baptism pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus pleased His Father. And I believe anybody that follows the Lord in baptism, pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we're commissioned to go, get people saved, baptize them, and teach them to observe the all things. I believe scriptural baptism pleases the Lord because it recognizes the authority of the Lord's church. I believe also scriptural baptism guarantees the continuity of a church or the perpetuity of the Lord's church. I believe a church that is not baptizing will soon die. It'll soon die. Now the Lord's church is not going to die, but it's possible for Olmsted Baptist Church to die. And so the importance of soul winning, that we put forth every effort that we can, that we might witness, that we might tell people of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after they're saved, we baptize them and we teach them the all things. I believe also scriptural baptism proclaims the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is a picture. It's a type. It's a figure and a symbol of our salvation. And so scriptural baptism pictures and proclaims the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scriptural baptism pictures and proclaims the death of our old life to sin. And we'll walk in newness of life. In other words, we have a brand new start in life. Scriptural baptism pictures also and proclaims the faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Scriptural baptism pictures and proclaims our putting on of Christ, as we see in the book of Galatians. I believe also that scriptural baptism protects the Lord's church. It protects it from doctrinal error. It protects it from baptismal regeneration or infant baptism. It also protects it from sprinkling for baptism. It protects it from Protestant and denominationalism. All of the denominations teach. All of these could not be His church. I'm going to teach against all of this. I'm going to tell people the truth concerning scriptural baptism. It protects it also from interdenominationalism and non-denominationalism. We are Baptists. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I thank God that He's made me a Baptist. And none of these groups hold the line on baptism and the Lord's Supper. What kind of baptism? What kind of baptism do we accept? Scriptural baptism also protects the church from ecumenicalism, one world church. We cannot accept their baptism. If we do, we're not Baptists. True Baptists have never compromised on this. Baptists who accept alien immersion are helping to pave the way for the ecumenical one world church. We must have scriptural authority. And we need not never forget this. There's no way we can work together with alien immersion Baptists. Those that take all of these that we have just mentioned do not have scriptural baptism. Can two walk together except they be agreed in the book of Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 5, 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? We dare not receive alien immersion. You say, what's alien immersion? That simply means foreign baptism. That which is foreign to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so alien immersion is any false baptism that does not meet all the requirements of scriptural baptism. And some may not do this. Some Baptists may not do this. They may not go along with alien immersion. But they receive baptism from other churches that practice that.
We dare not do that.
Anabaptists or rebaptizers, as they were called, they would rebaptize any that did not have scriptural baptism. So we reject all alien immersion as false and unscriptural. And it was for this reason that our forefathers were hated. They were butchered. They were tortured. They were burned. And they were killed by Catholics and Protestants. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to forget that. We reject all false teachings and false gospels. You say, Brother Jones, if we teach our young people this, we're going to lose them. No, we're not going to lose them. This is the way that the Lord's church has continued to exist all down through the years. All the way down through the ages. Is preaching and teaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching about the Lord's church. And the church continuing to exist. And it's been because of those brethren down through the years that have been faithful to proclaim and to preach on scriptural baptism and telling people what they need to do next. And follow the scriptural, biblical commands that the Lord has commanded us. And I thank God for our young people that we have in our church. We have several young people in our church. And I thank God for each one of you. And we trust as we preach and as your Sunday school teacher teaches the Word of God that you'll be there. Brother Mark is teaching on some biblical and doctrinal, some doctrines that's in taught in the Word of God and some things that we believe as a church and as the Lord's church has preached and proclaimed down through the years. And it's very important that you come and you be there in Sunday school that you might learn and know what Baptists believe. And especially if you're a member of Olmsted Baptist Church. It's very important. Because one of these days, you girls are going to meet a handsome boy and you're going to get married. And you're going to have some children. And you know where you're going to want to go to church? You're going to want to go to a good, sound Baptist church. My daughter's a member of a Southern Baptist church. And more than once, she says, Dad, says they don't preach like you do. And you'll notice the very same thing. And you're going to want to teach your children those things that you have been taught. And one of these days, you boys are going to meet a beautiful little gal. And you're going to get married. And you're going to want to teach your children the truth that you've been taught. And so it's very important that you receive the teachings down through the years that Brother Harvey has taught you and other pastors have taught you. This subject is very important. And so I believe the line has got to be drawn. And the Lord Jesus Christ drew that line. So when we receive another church's baptism, we are also receiving their system of belief. Y'all understand that? So it's very important that we examine and that we're very careful about the baptism and about the letters that we receive from other churches. We cannot be too careful. We want the Lord to be pleased with us. We want the Lord to bless us as a church. And if we continue to be faithful and honor Him in these truths that we've preached tonight, the Lord is going to bless us as a church. You're here tonight, never been saved by the grace of God. I want to tell you one more time that Jesus is the Savior. And Jesus will save your soul. He'll save your soul. You say, well, Brother Jones, I believe what you're preaching. I believe everything you're preaching about the gospel. But you know what? It's possible for you to believe everything I'm believing and die and split hell wide open. The Lord didn't make us robots. He didn't make us mummies. He made us responsible human beings. And you're responsible to believe the gospel. To trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To step out and make a public profession. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Lord has spoken to you tonight. We urge you to come. Trust Him as your personal Savior. We want to ask the question again tonight to you that are members of this church, you that are saved by the grace of God. How is your life with the Lord right now? Are you honoring the Lord Jesus Christ with your life? That's the most important thing in our life, is to know that our lives are right with Him. As we said this morning, the happiest time of your life is when you're in fellowship with the Lord. The most miserable time of your life is when you're out of fellowship with Him. When you're out of fellowship with His church. As we preached this morning, Jesus is coming back. And He could come back tonight. Does that do anything to you? I've been thinking about that this afternoon. Well, just any moment, Jesus could come back. Do you want Him to come back with your life and the condition that it's in right now? You're responsible to do something about that. You say, oh, I'm waiting for the Lord to convict me. Yeah, He can do that. I'm waiting for the Lord to maybe something happened to me. No, you don't want that. You don't want that. Not at all. You know, the Lord loves every one of His children. And He says He chastises every single one whom He receives. When we're disobedient, the Lord is going to deal with us. See how you're just trying to scare us. No, I'm just trying to save you from a bunch of hardships. I'm just trying to steer you out of around some paths, around some pits. That you could fall into. My kids always used to say when they was teenagers, they'd say, Dad, you're trying to run my life. Did y'all ever say that to your parents? You're trying to run my life. I says, no. I'm just trying to steer you around some pitfalls. And that's what I'm doing tonight. You that are saved by the grace of God may be out of fellowship with the Lord, out of fellowship with His church. The Lord is going to deal with you. I tell you what, the Lord's dealt with me severely.
But let me say this also, that the Lord is very loving. He's very compassionate. He's very long-suffering. And He'll deal with us, and He'll be merciful to us. And if we don't listen to Him, He has no other choice but to deal with us in a very severe way. And often He does that. And you don't want that. How's your life before the Lord? You don't have to make a move. You don't have to come forward. You can do that right where you sit. You can get your life straightened out right there, right where you're at. You need to get your life straightened out with the church, you can do that too. But whatever need you have tonight in your life, whatever it is, can be met in the Lord.